Welcome to the January 20th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, The Divine Indicative. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. It's good to see each of you this morning. I hope you're warm. It's my pleasure. My name is Jason Cogd. It's my pleasure to welcome you to College Park Baptist Church this morning. A special thanks to Mitch Edmonds and our Properties Committee for their MVP performance in getting everything warm enough so that we can be okay in here, because it's obviously mighty cold outside. I hope all of you were able to stay warm yesterday and last night through the weather, and appreciate you braving the elements this morning and being here for worship. We take a few minutes each Sunday before we begin worship to share some announcements and different information about the different ministries of the church and things that are going on in the life of the church. First of all, I want to let you know, you'll notice that Jeff's not here today, and I promise you that I'm not replacing him on a permanent basis for the announcements, because he's much better at it than I am. But Jeff and the youth are on a junior-seniors retreat. They're in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And they actually went yesterday, but they were able to travel safely, and they're there till tomorrow. So be thinking about them on their retreat. That'll be a meaningful time for the juniors and the seniors as they talk about leadership and calling and different things, and also think about their safe travel back from the mountains tomorrow. I want to say a few brief words about the schedule, first for today and then for the rest of the week, and you'll see this printed on the back of your order of worship. First, during the service this morning, you know there's a children's time, and if the children would come down at the end of hymn number 218 down front, you can see the setup here for a special treat for the kids. There will be regularly scheduled activities tonight, except for the youth. Since the juniors and seniors are gone, there will be no regular scheduled youth activities, but regular scheduled activities here. Tonight in the Adult 4 area, which is underneath Smith Hall, we'll have the second night of our winter Bible study. We're focusing on Romans, and under the winter Bible study theme, Amazing Grace. I'd love for you to come join us. We started that off with the movie Amazing Grace 2 weeks ago, and then we had our first Bible study last week. But if you didn't come on. There's nothing you've missed that you won't pick up on very quickly. We'd love to have you, and we're going to meet at 6 o'clock in Adult 4 tonight, and then the life service will be in Smith Hall. Our contemporary worship service will be in Smith Hall at 7 o'clock. This afternoon, from 2 to 5 in Smith Hall, there's going to be a baby shower in honor of the Keltners, Mary and her family, and I understand we may have some special guests that are going to be here with us this afternoon, so 2 to 5 in Smith Hall for the shower for the Keltners. And also, one more thing about tonight, no channels practice and no handbells, no handbell practice for tonight. Okay, I think that's it. As far as other opportunities, you can see listed in your order of worship the other activities for the week. I want to draw your attention to one thing. You may have noticed that every week printed in as part of the schedule are basketball games. We are fortunate at College Park to be able to participate in a countywide church basketball league, and we actually have four teams that range in age from junior co-eds, which are kids up through sixth grade, up to senior high, boys and girls. We have four basketball teams, and this is a great thing for our church, both for recreation and ministry. And these kids play every Saturday morning. So if you've got some free time on a Saturday morning and you want to do something fun, come on out and see these kids play. The schedule is always printed on the order of worship, and also I think it's in the newsletter. But these kids love to have a lot of fun playing. We get a lot of support. Yesterday, actually, all of our teams won, and that happens about as often as Haley's Comet. So that was a good thing. I see the intermediate boys are playing tomorrow night at 7:30 at Calvary, so I'm sure they'll keep that streak going. But we'd love to have you come anytime and support the kids, and they're a lot of fun to watch, and they really have a good time playing. And also, in addition to the four teams that we have that participate in this league, there's also a primary basketball, and this is for the younger kids that are third grade and younger. And Jeff leads this, and this is in Smith Hall on Thursday nights. And it was going to begin this past week, but due to weather concerns, it was canceled. And it will begin this coming Thursday night, weather permitting. And if you want more information on that, there are some flyers in the church office about the primary basketball. But that's another great opportunity. So I wanted to draw your attention to that. You may recall that last week Raymond gave an update on our partnership with Watermark, the church plant. Church start down in Troutman that our church has been partnering with, and our youth were down there last week for one of their services. We actually have some newsletters from Watermark Church at our information desk down in front of Smith Hall. So if you would like to kind of see more about the specifics of what's going on at Watermark and what's in their newsletter, feel free to stop by and pick up a copy of that at the information desk. For those of you who were here last week, you may remember that our friend Sarah Parker made an announcement and shared some testimony about what the Women's Missionary Union, WMU, has meant in her life and has meant to different Baptists around the state and all the missions and ministry work that the WMU does. And Sarah, thank you again for your remarks last week. Well, as a follow-up to that, I wanted to let you know that the WMU offering, which Sarah mentioned and which I believe has also been announced before, is actually taking place this week and next week here at College Park. You'll notice that there are special envelopes in the pews, white envelopes designated for the WMU Heck Jones special offering. This offering is for the WMU operating costs. This is for the missions and ministry that the WMU has always done. It's just a different offering, and there are some expenses that the WMU has that they have not had before this year. So I just want to let you know about that offering. It will be taken this week and next week here at College Park. I understand that the WMU hopes to raise $10,000 through this offering to be able to pass on to the state WMU to help them in their fundraising activities. So I want you to be aware of that. Our ushers are going to come down in just a moment. If you are a visitor here, we are very glad to have you. We thank you for taking your time to be with us this morning and coming out on a cold morning to worship with us at College Park. And we hope that you'll find this a warm and inviting place, a place of fellowship and worship. Our ushers have some information that we'd like to give to you. So if you are a visitor, if you wouldn't mind just raising your hand just high enough for them to see it so that we can give you some information about what's going on in our church, including a letter from our pastor, a copy of our most recent highlights. And most importantly, if there's anything you would like to know about College Park, please ask someone that's here, ask Raymond or myself or Mary or Jeff. We would love to talk to you about the church. We appreciate you being here, and thank you for your presence. As we transition into worship, if you would please stand and join me for our invitation to share in worship. Our invitation today comes from the 40th Psalm, the first five verses. Please read responsibly with me. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand.
He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods.
Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare.
Thank you.
I invite you to pray with me. Precious Father, thank you for the joy of being able to sing and speak praises to your name. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us. We thank you for life and breath. We thank you for worship. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the body of believers that are gathered here, as well as the ones that are gathered all over the world. Father, we love the fact that you're going to speak to us this morning, and we thank you for that in advance. Lord, we thank you for your truth, for your word. We thank you that you're here, and we invite you to work in a mighty way. We invite you to pierce our hearts. We invite you to pierce our minds, Lord. Show us who you are this morning. We love you so much, and we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. invite all the children to come on down. We're going to sit right here in front, looking at the puppets there. Go ahead and have a seat right there. That'll be great. How are y'all doing today? Did you like the snow? Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? We could use a lot more, couldn't we? Maybe tonight. Yeah, What are you going to do tomorrow? You don't go to school tomorrow, so what are you going to do? Play in the snow. I'm coming to your house if you've got snow to play in. Make Frosty the snowman. Well, that'll be fun. Okay, well, I don't think it'll come alive tomorrow. I don't think there's enough. You have to have big snowman, right? Maybe so. But it's supposed to warm up tomorrow. I think it's supposed to get up to like 30 tomorrow, so it'll be a nice day to play outside, won't it? It'll be great. This morning, we're going to talk about fruit, though. Do you remember a song that we sang in Vacation Bible School? It started out, oh, do you remember that one? Yeah. Well, that talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? And this morning, we're going to have a special message from our puppets, and they're going to talk about one of the fruits of the Spirit, okay? So you have to cheer real loud. Some of the children didn't come this morning. They must be off playing in the snow. And so you have to cheer real loud on three. Let's give them a big round of applause and cheer so that the puppets will come out. You ready? One, two, three.
Dude, what was I thinking? Oh, my aching head.
Hey, Duke, how are you doing? Oh, that's quite a big band-aid you got there. What happened?
Oh, hey, Robbie. Dude, it's a long, long story.
Well, I'm not going anywhere, so go ahead and tell me.
Well, okay, since you insist. You know how in the Bible there's that part about the fruits of the Spirit?
Sure, that's in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. There's 9 of them, fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah, well, I think my fruit is rotten. At least so far, I'm not doing too good at growing fruit, if you catch my drift.
What are you trying to say, Duke? Start from the beginning.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1.
No. Start from the beginning about how you got the black eye.
Oh, that. Well, there I was, okay? Reading the Bible about the fruit of the Spirit. It listed them all out. There was love and joy and peace and patience and all the rest. So I figured I would try to show a different one to my friends each day.
Well, that sounds like a great idea, Duke. How could that give you a black eye?
Well, the first fruit of the Spirit was love. So I went to school and I said to myself, Duke, you need to show love to the first person you see today. So I did. The first person I saw at school was Lori the Bruiser Brown.
The only girl allowed to play on the boys' football team?
Because she's bigger than all the boys put together? Yep, that's the one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it took all my courage, but I said, here goes nothing, and I puckered up and kissed her on the cheek.
Kissed her? What for?
Isn't that what love is? Kissing and hugging and being all mushy?
Well, not really. What happened after you kissed her?
Isn't it obvious, Sherlock? She decked me. She punched me out, dotted my eye, cleaned my clock.
She hit you?
Yeah, buddy, that's the last time I tried to show love to someone.
Duke.
What?
Duke.
What?
Duke.
What?
Sorry. It's just that I think you might have misunderstood what the Bible was saying about love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, but sometimes people get confused about what love really is. On TV, it seems like love is always some man and woman kissing. But love the way God means it is really different.
Oh yeah? How's it different?
Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is patient, kind, not proud or rude, that it always forgives and never gives up. It says that love never brags or puts others down. It says that the greatest love is shown when someone puts their life on the line for their friend.
Whoa, I didn't hear anything about kissing or hugging Lori the Bruiser or any of the stuff you said.
Nope. Love is a lot of things, and God has lots to say about it in his book, the Bible. But the most important verse about love is John 3:16. You know that one, Duke?
Yeah, I do, but I want to know if any of the kids know it. Do any of you know John 3:16? Well, it goes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." God so loved. I get it. It's not about being mushy. It's about doing things for others and expecting nothing in return.
You got it, Duke.
Cool. Well, I gotta go.
Where are you going?
To apologize to Lori and see if she needs help with her math homework. She's good at football, but she has a hard time with math. Dude, I totally rock at math.
That's the spirit, Duke.
Nope, that's the fruit of the spirit.
Yay. So love is about giving of yourself without expecting anything in return. It's unselfish. Let's pray and ask God for his help, okay? Dear Father, we thank you for the puppets and we thank you for the message they've given us this morning. But Father, it's a retelling of the story that you told us over and over and over again in your word. So help us to be good students of your word so we can learn how to be more like you and to love unconditionally. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Thank you. Amen. Let me go back to your seat.
As we share the ministry of God's word through the reading of Scripture, I'll be reading first in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, from Isaiah 49, begin at verse 1. And I invite you to read along with me, either in your own Bible or there should be a pew Bible located close to you. From Isaiah 49. "Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor.' But I said, 'I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with God.' And now the Lord says, 'He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, to bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." And also from the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 1, the words of the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. "Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful." May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as a people gathered in your name for worship this morning, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for hearing our our songs and our prayers and the words of Scripture as we lift them up to you to honor you in worship today. Lord, we give thanks that you're present with us. No matter how much we may stray from you on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, and rely on ourselves for strength and for sustenance as we sometimes, Lord, think arrogantly that we can do everything ourselves and only call you in when we need you. Lord, thank you for being present with us and for showing us the kind of love that you show us each and every minute of each and every day. Not because of who we are, because of what we do, but in spite of who we are and in spite of what we do. Lord, I give thanks for each and every person here and for those who are not here with us today, Lord. Thank you for your presence with us as we go through many different things. Lord, as you know better than we, many of us are struggling physically, struggling spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Many of us are tired and fatigued. And we need you, Lord. We need your strength. We need your warmth. We need the spirit and the energy that only you can give us. Lord, help us today, beginning in worship, going through today and this week, to turn to you, to put ourselves aside, and to take time to come to you and let you know our needs, to pray to you, to grow closer to you. Lord, thank you for being present with each and every person here and allowing them to know that you are keeping your promise to be present with us and to love us. We thank you for the promise that you've offered us through your Son, a promise of eternal life that puts into context, Lord, the problems that we're dealing with today. Lord, let us to focus on you, to draw strength from you, and to understand in you and because of you who we're about and what you've called us to do this week, so that we may be aware of what we need to do individually, that we may be aware of the needs around us and all of the ministry opportunities that we need to see. Lord, let us not to be selfish and our eyes not to be closed to what's going on around us. Help us to see these needs, to minister to others, both our neighbors and strangers, the people we don't even know. Help us to minister to them, to show them the kind of love that you have called us to show. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for being with us. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Every day, for the past few days, especially at Christmas time, as I approach what I call the autumn years of my life, I realized how blessed I am. I've been blessed in so many ways. And I want to tell you, my cup runneth over. And this morning, as I lead us in prayer, I want us to really consider what we can do in this new phase that we're going to be studying for the next few days. please pray with me. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for your infinite mercy that you've shown to all of us. As we awoke on this past Thursday morning, we beheld another example of your artistic creativity with the newly fallen snow. We are reminded time and again of just how powerfully artistic you are. As we behold your beautiful sunsets and the coming rolling thunderclouds of an approaching storm, we breathe a silent prayer of thanks to you. As we approach a new series of lessons on stepping out and being willing to be a disciple for you, please give us the courage to make ourselves available for the many opportunities to serve you in whatever way we can. Help us to step out and do the job that anyone could have done. Everyone should have done, but nobody did because we thought someone else would do it. Please help us see and seize the opportunities for doing a job for you. As we pause to return a portion of what is rightfully ours, we ask that you bless it and use it for your work here on earth. It is in your Son's name we lift up this petition, who taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is your kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen.
Are you weary and troubled? In the darkness you see, there's light for a look at the Savior, for life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. His perfect look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you, Cindy. Here was the question. The question was, what is the nature of religion? That was the question posed, and a rather bright student in a Christian education class responded to that question by saying, religion shows us the things we must not do. Well, unfortunately, that student's response very likely represents a pervasive point of view on the nature of religion, because many people reduce religion to kind of a set of moral maxims, a series of heavy commandments or a code of ethics that we have to follow. And for such people, imperatives resound at the heart of faith. So subsequently, many people experience and often set aside religion because they see it as a heavy burden that enslaves and fatigues rather than something that frees and empowers us. Next question. What is the nature of Christianity? Is Christianity based on the law and primarily experienced through obedience to innumerable commandments? Well, I believe the answer to those questions can be found in the commendation of Jesus by John the Baptist, as well as Jesus' public ministry. And I want to read about the first part of that sequence, how John the Baptist commended Jesus and introduced Jesus. I want to read that to you. And if you'd like to take your Bible and join with me, I'll be reading from John chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. John chapter 1, Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. And it was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. In this story, in this accounting of John introducing Jesus, you notice that every time that John sees Jesus and introduces him, he calls him the Son of God. Excuse me, calls him the Lamb of God. Calls him the Lamb of God. In verse 29, he said, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in verse 36, he said, look, there is the Lamb of God. So before John ever confronted anyone with a demand about Jesus, he identified Jesus as the embodiment of good news. Good news indeed, huh? Good news. But in verse 34, notice also that John identified Jesus as the Son of God. So powerful was his introduction of Jesus that two of the disciples who were actually following him at the time left and went to follow Jesus. And had this little encounter of, you know, Jesus said, why are you following me? They said, we want to know where you're staying. And they followed him. How does that happen? How does that happen? I believe it's because the indicative preceded the imperative. He indicated who Jesus was before John ever mentioned anything that Jesus would ask of us. The indicative preceded the imperative, as imperative, as it had always has been, as it did with John the Baptist, as it would be in the ministry of Jesus, and as it should be in us. You know, according to the author of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus' first memorable words were this. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come. That's it. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come. The divine indicative. He told us who he was, why he was here. He indicated very clearly what his purpose was before he ever asked anything of us. So actually, if you look at the words of John the Baptist and the words of Jesus, none of these should come as a real surprise to us. You know, announcements of God's love, as we talked about with the children. God's love and the promises of God's care always, always have been the foundation on what any other word that God offers. The foundation before anything else that Jesus said, the divine action of God is always based on his love. Even in the giving of the Ten Commandments. Think about it. What did God say? Before he laid down the imperative, he said these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Here's who I am, and here's what I've done for you. Clarity is critical. Obedience to the Ten Commandments is not a narrow prerequisite for receiving God's love. It is a broad and vibrant response to who God is. Now, to be sure, Jesus did voice some imperatives along the way. And God did ask things of us. Jesus said, repent. But when he said, repent, the people that heard him understood in context. He was not asking them to do something outside of the realm of his embrace. He knew that they needed to repent because of the nature of the relationship. They knew they needed to repent because of the nature of the relationship, how much Jesus loved them, how much he cared for them. And so with a willing heart, the repentance was a response to what Jesus was offering them. They knew it was in their best interest to repent. The divine indicative assures that commandments qualify as to what some people have called imperatives of grace, God's grace. Now, additionally, the very possibility of us carrying on God's imperatives relates directly to celebrating God's acceptance. So only, put it this way, only in a loving relationship with the God who delivers people from bondage do we discover the power to be moral in the life of freedom that God's given. Let me rephrase one more time. God alone can enable us to do what God asks of us. Does that make sense? The indicative comes first. So you say, Raymond, okay, that's nice. What's the point? You know, is this a theoretical discussion about verb forms? Or is it a theological discussion related to the nature of the gospel and our integrity and our spirituality? Well, I think that there's fundamental truths that reside in the message and the ministry of Jesus. And as we look this morning at John the Baptist and how he introduced us to Jesus, I think there's a couple of things that we need to notice about this passage. The first thing is there's an important insight here into the nature of the gospel itself, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said the rule of God who loves us is near. You know, the kingdom is here. And notice why. We don't usher in the presence of God by our good works, our noble deeds, if you will. That's not how it works. God arrives among us because of God's love, not because of our just deserts. You know, the rule of God is not possible because of what we've done. It's possible because of what he is continually doing. God's presence is not a response to humankind's obedience. It's actually an expression of divine grace. And that's a fortunate thing for us, isn't it? Do you understand that? Do you really comprehend the nature of the relationship? If you do, then it will change how you encounter the God who created you. It will change how you encounter other creation, other people, how you fellowship with other people. You see, we happily hear Jesus' mandate regarding repentance, and we desire the repentance he demands because we accept the good news that God is near. God is present with us. His kingdom has arrived. The second thing I think we need to glean from this passage is there's an important insight into the nature of effective public witness, for lack of a better term. Our witnessing, you know, related to God's work and Jesus. How do we put that out to those who need to hear the good news? You know, I believe just as our personal beliefs and our personal relationships and behaviors are to be shaped by biblical understanding of the relationship between indicative and imperative, I think our public witness should also be shaped by the nature of that relationship. You know, I think we would do well, as we read about John the Baptist, I think we would do very well to follow his example. You know, the indicative came first. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." God's clock has struck noon, you know. He's here with us. The time for God's reign has arrived. Both the substance of our spirit and the message should involve affirmation. You know, our first words to people in need of the gospel should be about a gift to be received rather than a demand that needs to be shouldered. Karl Barth was a renowned theologian, and he had some advice to us. He said that people who do not see witnessing as a positive task, but would rather take pleasure at shouting warnings and judgment on people who have created error, really just ought to keep their mouth shut. He didn't say that. He said, really ought to stay quiet altogether. Allow me to translate. Keep their mouth shut because they distort the very message of the gospel. By no means should the demands of the gospel life be ignored, but the imperative should follow the indicative. The priority of the gospel, the indicative taking precedent over every imperative, transforms what we believe and how we behave individually, as well as how we offer testimony about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Somehow John the Baptist knew that. He got it right. He gave us an example. He gave us a model. And we'd best be aware of that in our personal life as well as in offering testimony. I want you to close your eyes. Hear these words from the God who created you and loves you. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe the good news. Hear and be amazed. Respond with devotion and singing. Live in love. Witness positively and dance with joy. Amen. Dear Father, we thank you for the gift of example. Through the one that you sent to introduce your Son to the world. Father, that's our job too, is to introduce your Son to the world. So help us to follow the example of John, who did so faithfully in telling about you and who you are and how much you love. Help that to be the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's in your precious Son's name that we pray and that we ask for strength. Amen. If we want to be the one to introduce Jesus to the world, we need to have that relationship ourselves. So this morning, if you do not have a relationship with the God who created you, who loves you, who sent his Son to die for you, I invite you to come and I'll be glad to share with how you can have that kind of relationship. Perhaps you're here this morning and as I've been speaking, you've heard God kind of pull on your heart and say, I need to be more faithful in this model that John the Baptist has given us and how to introduce the Son of God to the world. The altar will be open here if you'd like to come pray. Certainly you're free to do that at your seat as well. And maybe you just need to have a little conversation with God and clear up a few things. We want to give you a chance to do that as we're singing. Also, we receive members. If you'd like to talk with me about how we receive members here at College Park, I'd be glad to share with you how you can become a member of this congregation. But we love you. We're glad you're here this morning. And we invite you to respond however God leads you as we stand and sing together now.
Lord,
Thank you for being here this morning. I hope you've received a blessing by being here, and I want to invite you as you depart from this place to greet one another. Welcome one another. Wish each other well. Pray for one another during the course of this week. We're all here together, and we're all God's children. And the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and I think we've been faithful to that this morning. And I thank you for being here. As we leave now, hear this benediction from God's Word. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.